السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has discussed in the Quran Sharif in many places a debate between Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and his father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and the people of his time. It's very lengthy discussion that has taken place in some of those ayat. There is no time to go into the detailed discussion of those debates, how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam presented his proofs of the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But that is a subject that requires a lot of time. However, along the line, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's du'as are discussed. Now, I did discuss this in some majlis some time back. His du'as are discussed. And one of the du'as that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. O Allah, on the day of judgment, do not allow any kind of embarrassment to come upon me. A Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in whose progeny was going to come Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is making dua on the day of judgment, don't allow any kind of embarrassment to come upon me. Now what a lesson for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, for people like us, that those people who were guaranteed and assured Jannat, there was no doubt about their entry into Jannat. There was no question of them suffering any kind of embarrassment on the day of judgment. But look at that khawf that they had in their hearts, because of that azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the power and the might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that azmat was in their hearts. So therefore, although they were guaranteed, but still they had to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection, that Allah ta'ala must not cause any kind of embarrassment. See what he wants to take him. That Allah ta'ala must not cause any kind of embarrassment to come upon him. Hazrat Maulana Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, one night he spent in the Haram Sharif just making one dua and nothing else. Whole night one dua. Ey khudai bandara ruswa makun. Ey khudai bandara ruswa makun. Garbadam man sirri man paida makun. Oh my beloved Allah, don't allow any kind of embarrassment, shame and disgrace to come upon this servant of yours. I know that I am a sinful one. Now these are pious people, righteous people, Allah walas, waliullahs. Say, I know that I am a sinful one. Now what sins were they committing? I know I am a sinful one, but do not expose my sins on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Ya Allah, forgive me. And don't test me and don't question me on the day of Qiyamah. But if you have to take my hisab kitab, then raise me up blind on that day, so that I do not see the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being embarrassed because of my sins. People like that. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that don't allow any kind of embarrassment to come upon me on the day of Qiyamah. And we commit sins day and night, and we don't even make the dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, then describes the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The gist of which is that on that day when a person's wealth and his children, the person's children and his wealth will be of no avail. The whole world is revolving around wealth, children, properties, assets, women, that's all. Now on the day of Qiyamah, all these things will be of no avail. One's own children will be of no avail. They will run from the father, they'll distance themselves from the mother. Nobody will be able to come to anybody's assistance and nobody will want to see anyone. In case the other person says, give me some blessings, give me some neki of yours. However, those children who were given proper upbringing, they were given tarbiyah, and they were made to grow up into pious and righteous children, then they will be of avail even on the day of Qiyamah. Then they will be of great help. And those people whose wealth also was used in places that were pleasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that wealth also will be of great help. So it is not that the children are condemned or the wealth is condemned. It is the usage, it is how we upbring them, and it is how we train them and discipline them. So now what is this qalb-e-salim? Say on the day of Qiyamah, wealth is not going to be of any help, children are going to be of no help, unless, as I explained, that they were given the proper upbringing and the wealth was used correctly. So then what is the day of Qiyamah and what will happen to the people? The same ayat is captured in a little poetry, which you may have heard before also from this servant of Allah Ta'ala. Malo aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, malo aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chhudane ko nahi. مال و اولاد قبر میں تیری جانے کو نہیں تجھ کو دوزخ کی مصیبت سے چھڑانے کو نہیں جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں کیا قیامت ہے کہ اس سے تو خبردار نہیں. It is only your actions which will come to your assistance and help. So the upbringing of the children in the proper way is an action. The usage of the wealth in correct places is an action. If that is there, then it will come of help. Otherwise, it's not going to be of any help to anybody in the grave. When the person leaves this world, he goes totally empty-handed. Nothing is in his hand. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. اب اکیلے ہی اس منزل سے چلے جائیں گے ہم. That's all people do. They put the person in the grave, say, now you can carry on your journey ahead. We are going back. So he says, don't worry, shukriya. I thank you for at least conveying me to my grave. Now from here I will carry on. I don't know what's going to happen. موت آ کر باہوش کو بے ہوش کر گئی, ہنگامہ حیات کو خاموش کر گئی. People are moving this and that and this conference, that parliament, that United Nations Assembly, and we are members of this cabinet, and all kinds of titles, labels, everything we put upon ourselves. Maut aakar bahosh ko behosh kar gayi. That person who was fit, healthy, jogging, running and doing everything and traveling sometime this part of the world, sometime that part of the world. Maut aakar bahosh ko behosh kar gayi. Finish, the person is gone. So we are in this world of means. We have to make use of the means. We have to live. We have to earn our livelihood. We have to upbring our children. We have to do lots of things in this world. But we cannot forget our destination. So therefore, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a person of his caliber, he is saying, oh Allah, don't allow any kind of embarrassment to come upon me on the day of judgment, when there will be resurrection, on the day of resurrection. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلُمْ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So in Ruhul Mu'anid, some description is given of this Qalb-e Saleem, that how will we know that we have got Qalb-e Saleem? Or how can we develop this Qalb-e Saleem, a heart which is sound, which is clean, which is pure? Only the person that comes with that kind of heart on the day of Qiyamah, then he will be saved, he will be protected. His children will be of assistance to him and everything will be good for him. So the first thing that is mentioned there as a tafsir of it is that الَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا أَنَقَأْنِ الْقَائِدِ الْبَاطِلَ, that the person's heart is clean and pure from aqaid which are batil. Now at this moment in time around the globe, everybody is targeting the hearts of people. Different kinds of ideologies, and everybody wants to capture the people's hearts with all the different ideologies. Most of it which is batil, which is falsehood. But look at the way in which it is propagated, the way in which it is presented. That even people with knowledge also sometimes can go astray. As I think I mentioned last night or the other night, that in the Quran Sharif it is mentioned. We know that that is the masla of deen, that is the Sharia ruling. Everybody knows that. That a Muslim man, under certain conditions, he can marry a Christian woman, if she is a proper practicing Christian. Not as a general rule, there are certain conditions, then there is some kind of flexibility with regards to that, that he can marry. But there is no question of a Muslim woman marrying a Christian man. That is not permissible. Or a Jewish person, or anybody who is of not a Muslim faith. But now look at what we find on the internet and what we find in so many other places written, that these tafasir, these commentaries were written by men. So therefore they twisted the whole thing and made it permissible for the man to marry the Christian woman, but they don't allow the Muslim woman to marry the Christian man, because Muslim men have written this tafasir. And then they go on. So many different letters we receive from different areas, that this is a God-given right to a person. A woman writes that this is a God-given right to my daughter, whether she accepts Islam or Christianity or she becomes an atheist, it is her God-given right. And forcing her to remain a Muslim is depriving her of this human right which Allah Ta'ala has given to her. And a verse of the Quran Sharif is quoted, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever decides to become mu'min, he must become mu'min, and the person who wants to make kufr must make kufr. Now is that what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is wanting the person to do? Or is that kind of a reprimand? So the first thing there for this Qalb-e Saleem is that the person must have his heart clear of all those aqaid and those beliefs which are batil, which are falsehood, which leads the person to nothing but the fire of Jahannam. Very quickly, the second point that is mentioned there is Alladhi yurshidu banihi ilal haqq. We all are concerned about ourselves. Or not even, we can't say all, we'll say some of us may be concerned about ourselves, that Allah Ta'ala must protect us from His wrath and Allah must give us His mercy and blessings and Allah Ta'ala must become pleased with us. So therefore we'll make salat, we'll give zakat, we'll do some right things. But it's not necessary that all of us are even concerned about our children. So that person, if he wants to come with Qalb-e Saleem, then he must even be worried and concerned about his children. What kind of environment are they growing in up? What kind of companions do they have? Who are their friends? Where are they spending their nights and days? Where are they going for recreation? Which cinemas, discos are they ruining their lives? How much of drug habit they are on? Our parents are in the masjid first of some time, but unconcerned where the child is. Then after some time we'll get a call, Molana, please speak to my son. So it's a duty of the parents that they must be concerned about their children. Don't get carried away with all the Western norms. We talk about education, education. How it shocks when we see a young Muslim girl sometime is sent out to some university far away from here, which is well known and renowned, that there's too much of drinking and gambling and fornication and all carrying on there. But just for a degree, they are prepared to sacrifice that young girl's haya and shame and modesty and sometimes the iman also. Is that education what we are reading about? When qualified and graduated people with big, big degrees and qualifications from universities and colleges, when they are going to urinate in food and make the laborers eat that, is that education which we are talking about? The Quran Sharif says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ قِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَا, that only those fear Allah who have got ilm and who got knowledge. So there are people who have written volumes on it, that here the knowledge is referring to geology, biology and science and maths and algebra and everything else. That's the knowledge that is referred to. Now we've got no problem with that knowledge. We can become the best doctors, the best scientists, and the Muslim community requires that. But we must not say that that is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is referring to, that only they who have got all this branches of knowledge, then they are the ones who have got the khawf and they've got khashiyat and they've got muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Because what we are seeing in the universities and colleges, we must have one little dispute with the principal and just see how much of smashing of windows and throwing of chairs and how much of burning and looting and how much of destruction takes place. By whom? By those people who have got very, very high qualifications and degrees. They are in different departments of. So is that knowledge? And we are prepared to sacrifice the haya and the shame and the modesty and the chastity of our little young daughters by sending them to such places. And even if it is our sons, then we have to monitor. Unless our minds have become so corrupt that the only thing that is of concern to us is how much money will they make in their lives if they have to get this degree. So there's nothing wrong with those degrees. We need, as I said, we need. And especially the Muslim countries of the world, they must not be dependent on America and France and China and Russia for their military equipment and for all the other technology. They must develop themselves. But it must be together with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala's khawf, Allah Ta'ala's recognition, Allah Ta'ala's azmat. Otherwise, to what level these people are stooping? Shocking beyond belief. We won't even do that to animals, what is being done by these so-called highly educated people with graduates of universities. And it's not really one incident that is here, go throughout the world and see what happens when there is a dispute between the principal and students, or the rector and the pupils. Zumballadhi yurshidu banihi ilal haqq. Then that person, alladhi yunfiqu maluhu fi sabilil bir, that the person who spends his wealth in good causes, Allah Ta'ala gives that wealth, then he uses that wealth, yunfiqu maluhu fi sabilil bir, in good causes, spending on one's children, spending on one's wife, spending on one's family, relatives, all that is good causes. Then to spend on the poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphans, the masajid, the madaris, for education, for hospitals, all these kind of things, all good causes. Digging up wells where there is a requirement for wells. Instead of just increasing our own assets all the time in this world, we increase some assets for the hereafter. Make some investments for the hereafter. Ask ourselves, how much did we spend in good causes other than spending on our own families and for ourselves? So that is the third. Then it is mentioned that that person is not, I'll just give you quickly, that person, his evil passions are not dominant over him. It does not say that there must be no passion. If there was no passion, the person would not have been able to father children. So there is a need for passion. Allah Ta'ala himself has created sexual passions. But he must be the controller, he must be the rider over those horses. He must not allow those horses to ride over him. He must be in control. He must be Malik. He must not allow it to be dominant over him, such that he does not even see whether he is with a prostitute or is with his wife or where he is. Because when these passions become dominant, then the weakness of man is well known. So one of the signs of Qalb-e Saleem, that the person has got a sound heart. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, he will forgive and enter into Jannat people who have got this Qalb-e Saleem. So I'm giving you what is the description of this Qalb-e Saleem. So the person will have passions, but he must not allow the passions to overpower and overwhelm him. He must be in total control, meaning that if it is his wife, then it is permissible. But if it is anything other than that which is allowed in Islam, then he distances himself. And those things which create those evil passions and desires in a person's heart, or which makes a person go overboard, then he must distance himself from all that too. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. When those evil desires comes, then he turns towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now if he is going to watch those porn sites, and if he is going to go to the rave clubs and discos and cinemas, and if he is going to work very close with those women who are semi-naked or dressed in a very, very inappropriate manner, then what is going to happen? So therefore, Qalb-e Salim, one of the tafsirs is there. And the last thing is that his qalb is khali amma, that it must be empty. Khali an amma siwallah. First thing that must be in that heart must be the muhabbat and the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is his creator, sustainer, nourisher and cherisher. It is human nature that if any person is given some kind of a gift, then automatically his heart is attracted towards that person. There is a kind of softness in the heart for that person. There is a kind of love that comes into the heart of that person for the one who has given him some kind of a gift. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with all our faculties, our intelligence, our sight, our hearing, our speech, our heart, liver and lungs, everything. So should we not have that much muhabbat at least for him, that we don't do those things which are displeasing to him? We stay away from it. Last night I mentioned that there is a list, or statistics have been given, of what a long waiting list there is for people who require kidneys, people who require hearts, people who require corneas for their eyes, people who require this part of the body and that part of the body. There's a waiting list. And look at the price tag on all those parts of the bodies. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us 2 eyes, 2 ears, gave us heart, liver, lungs, everything, and didn't even send any bill to us. And up till now we haven't heard that the people or the children that will be born this year will be born without hearts or without lungs or without kidneys, or they will just have 1 kidney for this year, because there's a shortage in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures of corneas and heart and liver and lungs. Nothing like that. So build up this muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That khawf and fear only comes afterwards, when the person cannot develop that love for Allah ta'ala. But ponder over the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala. Every day look at our cars, look at our hearing, look at our speech. See our faces in the mirrors, look at the bounties that Allah ta'ala has showered upon us. And let that bring us before Allah. Put our hearts before Allah. Ask Allah ta'ala for an increase in those ni'mats, and ask Allah ta'ala for a protection of those ni'mats from his azab. Allah ta'ala can pull the carpet from beneath the feet of anyone whenever he wills and desires. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of the ummah around the globe. And not only the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but of mankind around the globe. We must ask for hidayat of mankind. It's only those who become really stubborn, obstinate, they made up their minds, they will continue with the tyranny, persecution, torture and oppression of the ummah. Then we make dua, Ya Allah, remove them from the surface of the earth. But otherwise we should make dua that Ya Allah, give hidayat to the entire mankind and remove their difficulties also, whether it's of famine, of drought, of AIDS, or whatever it may be. And ask Allah Ta'ala to shower his rains of rahmat upon mankind, and especially upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is suffering tremendously this moment in time in Palestine, in Iraq, in Bosnia, Afghanistan, Chechnya, Somalia, Sudan, and which part of the world the ummah is not suffering. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.